Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into the Lord's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's people and the sheep of the Lord's pasture. Enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and the Lord's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's name. For the Lord is good. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever. And the Lord's faithfulness to all generations. For the word in scripture, the word in creation, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our sermon text comes to us today from Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. I'll begin reading from verse 31 and read through verse 46. Listen now for God's word to and for us. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you in prison or sick? And when was it that we saw you in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accursed, depart from me to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Living God, help us to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thankfully, I haven't had that dream in a very long time. Just thinking of it makes my throat tighten up and my palms start sweating. In that dream, I am back in school. I walk into the classroom, I sit down at my desk, and the teacher starts passing out exams. I start reading through the exam, and it occurs to me that I don't know the answer to one single question on the whole exam. In fact, it occurs to me that I have forgotten to come to class for the whole semester, and I haven't turned in any of the homework assignments. My nightmare, I believe, is a lot like the sheep and the goats. that we just read about. In the parable, it's not the end of the semester, but it's the end of time. It's the time when Jesus will come into our lives, not as the baby that we greet in the manger in Bethlehem, or the teacher giving the Sermon on the Mount, or the healer exorcising the Gerizim demoniac, or healing a woman who is hemorrhaging, or raising the dead, or the friend that is eating and cavorting with all the most unlikely suspects like sinners and tax collectors and women. The Jesus we meet today on the last Sunday of the Christian year and the Jesus we will meet in the fullness of time is Christ the King, the one who will judge, as Matthew tells us, will sort us into two groups. Goats go to the left to eternal punishment, and the sheep to the right to eternal life. Christ the King is the one who will make the decision and the judgment, will assess not our thoughts or our faith or our intention or our feelings, but rather how much we have done in our lifetime to help a group referred to as the least of these. To most, that is a sobering thought. For the gospel writer Matthew, people seem to be easily classified either as sheep and goats, or he makes the same point in another place using the wheat and the tares, or the good and bad seed, or the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. Even though Matthew had Jesus dividing humankind this way, I am not so sure that God's children can be so easily sorted out. As Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we are truthful, some days our behavior is more goat-like, and some days our behavior is more sheep-like. But God's word promises, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Thankfully, each of us are God's works in process and progress, and I believe that God is not, thank you, Jesus, finished with any of us yet. Even though I balance Matthew's message of judgment in this parable with the message of grace, like when we hear about chapter 18, where Jesus, like a shepherd, leaves behind the 99 sheep and goes searching after that one who has strayed away, or in Matthew 20, where Jesus, in some interpretations, like a vine owner, pays all the workers a full day's wage, regardless of how long they showed up for work, if you believe that the vine owner is Jesus. The gospel writer of Matthew reminds us that there will be a judgment and that we are responsible for our behavior. Alice McKenzie, the author of the Interpretation Series study on Matthew, uses a term called active righteousness. What she means by that is that it's not enough to know the greatest commandment, to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But our lives must bear fruit, or in other words, there must be tangible evidence of living out that command in our lives. Sometimes the least of these are right around us. It's saying I'm sorry when we've hurt another person, or listening for the 37th time to someone who needs to talk and needs to be heard. It's erring on the side of grace or trying to give the other person the benefit of the doubt, even when we think that there's a chance that they may be hustling us or that we may be taken advantage of. For some, it's going through our closet and getting rid of a coat that we're not using anymore, even though there's no coat drive going on at the church, or a blanket, so that someone who is cold might be able to use it. For others, it's assembling, and was this last week delivering Thanksgiving food baskets and Thanksgiving dinner to Pinellas Hope. our brothers and sisters there so that they would have a nice Thanksgiving. For some people, it's inviting somebody that we know, they may be a friend or not, that is just going to be alone at Christmas dinner. Rather than seeing a person in need as the other who is far removed from us, an inconvenience or a bother or a drain, one way to transform our goat behavior into tendencies, into sheep-like tendencies, is by looking for Jesus in the face of those in need. It takes practice, and the fact that it does only makes sense because we are disciples or followers of Christ, which is exactly what the word disciple means, a learner, a student, an apprentice, a pupil. At any age, the Holy Spirit is at work within our lives, working to fashion us into the very image of Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa writes, when Jesus said, "I was hungry, you fed me," he didn't mean only the hunger for bread and food. He meant the hunger for love. If they aren't motivated by love, our actions are purely empty. If we treat Jesus' instructions like a legalistic checklist, we subscribe to works righteousness, or in other words, the false belief that we can earn our way to heaven by all the good deeds that we may do. If that's what we believe, then we have simply missed the point. Our motivation for loving is not so we can store up get out of hell free cards. We love because Christ first loved us. It's not about ticking off the boxes. It's about building relationships with one another and with the least of these, often who aren't easy to love at all. When we do, we follow in the footsteps of the one who came not to be served but to serve. When we serve one of the least of these, we serve Jesus Christ. The teaching of the parable of the sheep and the goats goes beyond charity, urging us to extend kinship, K-I-N-S-H-I-P, to those who are marginalized, that they might be brought into their rightful fit place and find their place in the wide, wide circle of God's divine love. Throughout the Bible, Scripture makes it clear that God sides with the least of these and welcomes them into the heart of community. Jesus' heart for the least of these is expressed at the very beginning of his ministry when he was in the synagogue, his home synagogue in Nazareth, and he took the Isaiah scroll and read from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus read, "because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." If we've been paying attention, we shouldn't be surprised that the least of these is a group of people that are so close to our King that he counts everything done for them as done to him, and everything not done for them as if it had not been done to him. Whether they knew it or not, the righteous sheep had a relationship with Jesus Christ. As they fed the hungry, they were feeding Jesus. As they clothed the naked, they were dressing Jesus. This is the concrete expression of love your neighbor, or the command found at the very end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, which says, when Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." In times when we feel overwhelmed, it's good to remember that it's not all up to us individually. We are part of the body of Christ. And when we join together, we have an increased capacity to reach out to the least of these, extending the hospitality of Christ. We know how to do this here through things like Friends of Hope and the blanket ministry and clothes to kids. Our Skycrest ministry, we know that we can do much more when we come together. Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago is one of the most beautiful tall steeple churches in our denomination. It's located on Michigan Avenue in the midst of the city's high-end shopping district. But the poor and the vulnerable are not far away. Elam Davies, the pastor from the late 1960s until the early 1980s, preached regularly about the need for the church to reach out to the last, the least, the lost, and the left behind. His words must have taken root and sparked the congregation's imagination, because today a tutoring program works with more than 500 children per week from a poor neighborhood nearby. Hundreds of guests come each week to the Elam Davies Social Service Center to receive clothing and toiletry and a safe place to rest, counseling, and an assistance in making transition from the streets to stable housing. Those who serve there see those people as guests, people with names and stories and hopes as well as needs. Could it be that in God's infinite wisdom and mercy, we all have been given the gift of time to learn how to love, to learn how to give up our goat-like behavior and start acting like sheep? Members and friends of Trinity, school is in session. We've already seen a copy of the final exam, and now is the time to prepare. God has designed a lifelong curriculum of pop quizzes that include countless opportunities for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ by serving the least of these. Christ is counting on you. Christ is counting on all of us. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, may your love control our thoughts and actions that we may do what is pleasing to you. Show us where we lack charity, mercy, and forgiveness toward our neighbor. Show us how to do love, extending your hospitality and place of belonging to others. Change our focus to see your face in the face of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and help us to be generous in giving to others as you have been so generous in giving to us. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. God goes in front of you to guide you. God goes behind you to protect you. God goes beneath you to uphold you, and God walks beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. Go in the peace and the joy of the Lord, and let your light shine the love of Christ that has been shared with you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.